from tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, June the 30th, 2016. Carla Buttard is the speaker of this service, teaching on generational curses and spirits.
Wow, good evening. There is a good, healthy crowd here. We like to welcome everybody who's watching by internet. I forget about that camera, so that's the last time I'll talk to you. Okay. I do want to mention, you know, children, you always have rules. I remember when my kids were little, they just, the rules. And I used to say, well, when you grow up and get to be 18, you can move out to your own place and make your own rules. But you know what? I was wrong about that. Let me just tell you now, so you're not disappointed when you get to be 18. You're going to have rules wherever you go, forever. If you have a job, your boss is going to make rules. If you live in an apartment, you're going to have apartment complex rules. When you start driving, you're going to have rules. Everywhere, there are rules. You know why? It's so hard because we don't want to obey the rules. That's called rebellion. So I just bind the spirit of rebellion on every child in here and every adult, myself included. In Jesus' name, I command that spirit of rebellion to go, and I bless them with obedience to the rules, moms and dads alike. Well, there are some rules here at Lake Hamilton, and we do that because we love you. We want you to come, and we want you to get the most of what God has for you. But just as in the garden, you know, when Satan was cast out of heaven, well, he wasn't Satan, and he was Lucifer, and he had an important place in heaven until he rebelled against God. Then God sent him down to the earth, and the earth is a great big dirt ball. Big. But where do you think Satan went? Where did he show up? In the Garden of Eden. He could have been anywhere else, but he chose the Garden of Eden. You know why? That's where God was doing the work. And Satan likes to show up every time God puts together something and wants to do a work. Satan wants to be there. In Job, it said, when the sons of God gathered together before the Lord, Satan was found among them. God said, where'd you come from? He said he still tried to be a son. No, he was kicked out. But anyway, we have bound him from coming to this place, and we do it corporately right now. We bind you, Satan, rebuke you, and render you powerless. And we put a boundary, a hedge of protection, angels, the Spirit of God, the power of God, that you cannot come on this property to do your stuff. In Jesus' name, we bind you from here. And we loose the mighty angels to stand around every child, every adult. We bind spirits of accidents and incidences. We bind the spirits of infirmity that nobody gets sick. And Lord, we just bless the people who have come to work with the children. I speak a special blessing upon them, supernatural strength to endure. Lord, a fresh anointing of your grace and a fresh anointing of your love in Jesus' name. Okay. So, there are some rules about the dormitory upstairs and the room, every cabin, every place on this campground, that there's not to be food in the rooms. That was a real bummer the first time I came here, because I like my snacks. But you know what? I left them in the car, and I went and sat in the car when I wanted a snack. We do that because we don't want critters. Yeah. I'm telling you, the ants is just amazing. Their noses can't be very big, but they can sniff out a grain of sugar, a cookie crumb, and then they call their whole generations with them, and they all pile up. So we don't have eating in the rooms. We like the lights. Like, please don't jump off the bridge. No, just don't jump off the bridge. There will be no jumping off the bridge. Lights out and everyone in bed by 10:30. Unless in here something is going on beyond that time. The doors in the dormitories, even in the back of this building, can be loud. Other people may be, you know, coming in late. And so we like to respect and close the doors quietly. There's no smoking in the buildings or near the exits. We ask, you know, we know that everyone who comes here loves the Lord. And as we've already been told, we all have a calling. God has called us all. But when you come to meeting, we don't allow personal prophecies to be given, like over there, somebody, oh, listen, I have a word for you. We don't do that here. We understand that you may have a higher calling than any of us, but the rule is no personal prophecies here, no personal prayer meetings, no group is going to meet in any room and have their own personal prayer meetings. If Merrill's daddy was here, he could tell stories. We've heard them of disasters that have happened because of stuff like that. So that's why the rules are in place, and we thank you for following those rules. Okay, I think that's just about all. Actually, this paper is back there on the table, and every parent, every person, every adult here needs to get one and read the front and the back and make sure that you have all of the rules. We're not going to read every one of them, but we do hope that you will come to the 6 o'clock prayer meeting. If you ever come to Lake Hamilton wanting personal prayer, that's the only time it takes place. I mean, unless somebody drops dead, we may pray for you in between time to raise the dead. But we have that morning time set off for that's when you're going to get one-on-one prayer. So the rest of it will be done corporately. So I hope you're in all the meetings. Okay, well, tonight I want to start with a prayer of repentance. I found myself praying this prayer, and so I think it probably applies to all of us. And so if y'all will just repeat this prayer of repentance. Father, I ask you to forgive me for the thoughts that were not pleasing to you. I ask you to forgive me for the attitudes of my heart that have grieved your Holy Spirit. I ask you to forgive me for speaking hurtful words. Forgive me for allowing anger, frustration, impatience, unkindness get the best of me. Forgive me for judgments that I have made of others, for lacking compassion. Forgive me for feeling fearful when things seem out of control. For thoughts of doubt and unbelief. Forgive me for grumbling and complaining. Forgive me for withholding forgiveness and putting my own self in the prison of torment. Forgive me for being discouraged. And Father, if there's anything that has not been mentioned, I ask you to bring it to my remembrance. And when I remember it, I will quickly repent, because I don't want anything to stand in the way of receiving what you have ordained for me this weekend. I say yes and amen to your plan. I thank you that when I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Now that broke a whole lot right there. Because we have to repent in order to be forgiven. And how many, let me see the hands of those who are here for the very first time. Okay, I also want to break some generational curses that, you know, there are curses. Let me explain the difference between a curse and a spirit. A curse is like a door, like that door over there. That door, if the curse is there, it allows spirits to come in. So if you break the curse, you shut the door for those spirits that would continue to come in. And then we'll cast the spirits that came in with the curse, because we were born with curses. I like to tell the account in the Bible about curses and generational things by the story of Lazarus, who was dead in the grave for 4 days when Jesus raised him from the dead. And Jesus called for Lazarus to come out of the grave, and he came out, but it said that he was bound with grave clothes. And see, before we're born again, we're actually dead spiritually. And then we get born again, and we come into this new life, but we have grave clothes. Our spirits are immediately made perfect, just like Jesus, because that's where he lives. He comes to live in our Holy of Holies. And there can be no evil thing where Jesus is, but the house that holds the Holy of Holies can be full of things. And so that's what we deal with here. We deal with the grave clothes, so that it says, Jesus said to them when he came out with grave clothes, he said, loose him and let him go. So that's what we're going to be doing this weekend as we educate. As we get educated about how these things work, Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So as we learn these truths, those grave clothes can be stripped off of us so that we can live the Christian life more effectively, more successfully. I was 30 years old before I really came to that point in my life. I'd been a Christian for many years. But not until then, when I started learning about these things, did my life really begin to take a turn. And sadly, this is not stuff that you hear Sunday mornings sitting in churches. That's why this place is here. Isn't it great that there's a place? It's my desire that this message be embraced by all churches everywhere, so that the people who sit in their congregations can be free. I believe that day's coming, because, you know, it already is in a way, because things are beginning to happen to people in churches that the church doesn't have the answer when they need that help, when they're desperate, then they start looking on their own. And eventually, when they start, you know, this is so unnatural, this has got to be a demon, this has got to be, you know, a spirit, then they start looking on the internet, and this is one of the first places that comes up, and so we're thankful for that. Okay, so generational curses, it says in Exodus 20 verse 5, this is the Ten Commandments, and it says this in verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. He's talking about idols. Well, what is an idol? An idol is anything that takes the place of God. Anything that takes the place of God is an idol. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Oh, thank goodness we don't hate God, do we? No. But actually, before we knew God, before we accepted Jesus as our Savior, we were our own God. We were idols ourselves, and we practiced idolatry. So the iniquities are the bents in our humanity that cause us to do wrong things is passed down to the third and the fourth generation. And sometimes people who, especially my family, and I have a big, there's probably 100 people in my family extended, they always say, all you ever talk about is demons and curses and all that stuff. You know, we inherited some good stuff too. I said, yeah, but is that giving you any trouble? I mean, I want to help with the trouble. We can rejoice over the good stuff, but it's the bad stuff that gives us the trouble. So that's what we want to deal with, are those bad things. And those were in our mamas and daddies, and in our grandparents, and in our great-grandparents, and in our great-great-grandparents. Every person that is affected third and fourth generation backwards, that there's 30 people involved in that. So the gene pool is like 30 different people. That's why, if even in my family, my husband and I have 3 children, but oh my goodness, this one is just like my older brother. How did that happen? You know, he's not my older brother's child, but it's because of this gene pool. It's the third and the fourth generation. So you may hear people say, she reminds me so much of my grandma, or she reminds me so much of my Aunt Jean, or she reminds me so much of Uncle Joe. That's how that happens. My mother is a very mild kind of woman. By that I mean she's not boisterous and everything. But I am more like my mother's sister, who is boisterous and forceful and all those things. So how'd that happen? She used to say, you should have been her kid. I think about this with he should have been my brother's kid. He's doing all the stuff my brother did. I never did any of that stuff. Why did I get that, you know? I mean, when you start learning about these things, it answers a whole lot of questions. Okay, so we're going to deal with some generational curses. A curse, the definition of a curse is a source or cause of evil. Okay? So, this is how I learned about how these generational things work. In Genesis 12, I'm going to read, children, I want you to listen up on this because you'll be able to understand this. In Genesis chapter 12, and I'm going to read it, it's just a few scriptures, starting at verse 10, we're going to talk about a daddy and a son. It says, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram, who later his name was changed to Abraham, so we're talking about Abraham, but he was called Abram at this time. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to stay there, for the famine was really bad in the land. I'm improvising so the kids can understand. And it came to pass when he got near to Egypt that he started thinking. He was in the wagon with Sarah, his wife, and she was a beautiful woman. And so he starts thinking, back in those days, the kings of certain places would take the women, whoever they wanted. So Abraham's thinking, wait a minute now, they might kill me to have her. So he says to his wife, hey, if anybody asks, you're my sister, okay? Now, why did he do that? Because he was scared. See, when we get scared, it might cause us to devise a lie. But that's what Abraham did, Abram. He said, if anybody asks you, because you're good looking, and they'll want you, so they'll kill me to have you. Okay? So, now in chapter 26, when I first started reading the Old Testament, this is what happened. I read that about Abram and his wife. And then in chapter 26, I started hearing the same story, I thought. It says this, and there was a famine in the land. You know what that means? There was no food to eat. Another famine. And this is Isaac. And the Lord appeared to him and said, don't go to Egypt, but dwell in the land which I will tell you. So they're moving to another place. And before they get to the place, Isaac starts thinking. Now, his wife is good looking. And he thought to himself, hey, they may kill me for her. So he says to his wife, hey, if anybody asks, you're my sister. See, he was afraid too. So the daddy had fear, now the son has fear. The daddy tells a lie, now the son tells a lie. And you know what's interesting? It's the same situation, which I have begun to see, that same situations will happen, repeat themselves again and again in families. And they just keep repeating the same thing over and over and over. That's a generationally inherited curse. So we don't want those on us, but they are there. It's one of those grave clothes. So we want to pull that off. You can also read about it with the story of King David. We all know that King David, with Bathsheba, he took another man's wife for himself. That was forbidden. And then later, his very own son took his sister. And that was also forbidden. So that's another generationally inherited curse. That happens in families where there's molestation and incest. It just continues to happen again. It's a generationally inherited curse. Okay, so we're going to break some generationally inherited curses. Okay, so I want y'all just to repeat this. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now remember, it goes 3 and 4 generations. So we're going to break the generationally inherited curses from our mama's side, back, and our daddy's side, back. So those generational curses that have come onto you, we want to break those tonight. Because everything else that takes place in camp, we want to make sure these things are broken so that the new thing that God wants to bring into your life can be easily received because the curses are gone. Okay? So in the name of Jesus, I break the generationally inherited curses that came down through my father's bloodline, all of his weaknesses, all of his bad habits, all of his infirmities, all of his vices, all of his addictions, to be broken. I break them now in Jesus' name. And I give leave to the familiar spirits that have followed me down my father's bloodline. Go in the name of Jesus. Now, familiar spirit is kind of like, okay, my daddy used to sleep in his recliner, take a nap, whatever. And he had a habit of putting his hands like this, and his knees would be open like this, and he would be asleep. So I bring my first baby home, little boy, and he's in his little infant carrier. And one day I looked over there, and he had his little hands like this, and his knees were open like that, and it was, oh my goodness, that's just how my daddy sleeps. That's what I call familiar spirit. They're familiarities that come down the family line. Sometimes you can have an expression that looks just like somebody, or a mannerism that's just like somebody else. Those to me are familiar spirits. It's a spirit from the people that were before you. Okay, so Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the generationally inherited curses that came down to me through my mother's bloodline. All her sicknesses. Now you know that those things are generationally inherited. See, some people don't believe in generational curses. But if you go to the doctor's office, they'll give you a list of stuff to check off to see what was in your family. Yeah. See, science has proven that those things are true. Genetics has proven that those things are true. So we break those generationally inherited curses that came down my mother's bloodline. All her infirmities, all her weaknesses, all her bad habits, all her addictions, all her gossiping ways, whatever your mama had, we break those curses now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we give leave to the familiar spirits that followed you down through your mother's bloodline in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Then there is something called a soul tie. In the Bible, you will find a soul tie in the story of David and Jonathan, right after David killed Goliath. Kids, you know that story about David and Goliath? Well, King Saul was so impressed with the courage of David that he wanted to take him home with him. He wanted him to come home and live with him. And King Saul had a boy named Jonathan. He was grown up, and David was grown up, and they became very, very good friends. So what they did, it says in the Bible that their souls were knit together. That means they were close, 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 like brothers almost. And so Jonathan, who was the king's son, took off his robe and gave it to David, took off his sword and gave it to David. There were things, and those were all symbolic of what's mine is yours. And David gave him his. So they exchanged. It was a covenant that they made with each other, that I'm going to love you just like I love myself. Your battles are going to be my battles. I will fight for you. And the other one said, I will fight for you. It was a covenant. Their souls were knit together. And if you've ever seen anything knitted, you can't pull that apart. If you pull a fabric, it can tear. But something knitted, you can't hardly break it. So they had this soul, their souls were tied together. So if you have somebody that you're very close to, you could have your soul knit together with them. And this is the way I explain a soul tie. Have you ever been fishing? Any of you kids been fishing? Okay, so the fisherman throws the bait out there. Now the fish are all swimming around wherever they want to. But when the fisherman throws his bait out there and the fish bites it, they are connected by the fishing string. The man in the boat and the fish are connected. Now the fish cannot swim anywhere it wants to because something else is controlling it. Well, the soul tie can be that way. You can have evil soul ties. Even if you have a good friend and you get really mad at them and you hate them, that becomes an evil soul tie. You're tied to that person. And those things need to be broken because it becomes a bridge then. And sometimes their infirmities can come to you. If they're having financial trouble, you can start having financial trouble. If they have some kind of disease in their life, it can come to you. Now, we don't see that in the natural, but in the spirit realm, it's very real. You would see these ties. So we want to break evil soul ties. Maybe you had a coach that was hateful to you. Or maybe you had a teacher that just picked on you all the time. Or somebody bullied you. Maybe you have an evil soul tie with a brother or a sister. And do you know what? Just like when you little kids, when y'all get mad at each other and y'all fight, big brothers and sisters do that too. And then you can have an evil soul tie with them. So we want to break those soul ties so it doesn't hinder you being able to receive what God wants to do for you this weekend. It could be a past girlfriend or boyfriend. It could be a past husband or wife. All of these things need to be broken. I'll never forget, Jerry McGee was teaching on soul ties, and she told this story about this young girl that came to one of her meetings that had an ankle that gave her a lot of trouble. And so she started asking her different things, you know, did you make fun of anybody that limped, or, you know, all these different things. And the girl said, no, no, no. And then she said, did you have a pet that maybe had, and she went, I had a horse that was lame in the left leg, and it was her left ankle. and something had happened. Someone killed her horse or something. It broke her heart. She had a soul tie with that horse. And so Miss McGee broke the soul tie, and the girl's foot was instantly healed. That was just amazing to me. So soul ties are very real. Maybe you have an evil soul tie with a doctor. You know, you went to a doctor and he was supposed to do this, but he did this, and now you're worse off than you were. That can be an evil soul tie. It can also come through soul ties with preachers that hurt you. You can have any number of soul ties. So we want to break those. So I'm just going to lead you through a prayer. See, as I've been talking, you've been thinking. People have been popping up in your mind. Those are the ones we need to break the soul ties with. So we're going to pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, don't name the person. You can just voice it, but you don't have to call it out loud. I break the evil soul ties with. Now I want you to think about them. Let their faces pop up and just, I break the evil soul ties with this one. I break the evil soul ties with that one. This is really done better on a personal thing, you know, each one singularly, but we're doing it this way for tonight. Every person that popped up, I break the evil soul ties with them. I send their soul and spirit back to them. Now let me explain this. If, let's just say this was a puzzle, and it represents you. When you have an evil soul tie with somebody and you part ways, they take a piece of your puzzle with them, and a piece of their puzzle sticks with you. And when you have a lot of these things going on in your life, it can cause you to be scattered in your mind, in your soul. That's why it's a soul tie. So your soul, you have pieces of your soul scattered all around. And it can cause confusion. It can cause mental problems. And so we're going to break those. So I send their soul and spirit back to them. I call my soul and spirit back to myself. Cleansed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I give leave to every familiar spirit that attached itself to me through that evil soul tie. I command it to go in Jesus' name. And now, Father, I ask you to heal my mind and restore my soul in Jesus' name. Okay. Now, there are also generationally inherited Antichrist spirits that can be causing you trouble. How, you say? Well, depending on your nationality, in actuality, I'll just go all the way back to the beginning. In the beginning, in the Old Testament, every nationality in the Bible, other than the Israelites, the Hebrews, did not belong to God. They worshipped false gods. And if we trace ourselves all the way back, there's no telling where we originated from in the nationalities. And so they all worshipped false gods. Therefore, there is an Antichrist spirit. And so that can be passed down just like everything else. And it can stand in the way of you getting to know God the way you want to know God. It can cause you not to be able to believe, even though you really want to believe. It can stand in the way of your faith growing, even though you're trying to grow your faith, because of an Antichrist spirit. It could have been a religion that your ancestors were in that had an Antichrist spirit attached to it. Any religion that Jesus Christ is not the center of has an Antichrist spirit. Even some religions that Jesus Christ is the center of, but they don't accept the whole Godhead. God's okay. Jesus is okay. Got a little problem with that Holy Spirit. That's an antichrist spirit. And sometimes, even though we get saved and born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost and we come out of that, that antichrist spirit could still be there and needs to be cast out. I've had many people that say, you know, I've been seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It just won't happen. It just won't come. And after God showed me this, now I say, can I ask you what church you were raised in? And many times they'll say Baptist. And I'll say, well, that's simple. Let's just break that antichrist spirit, because they reject speaking in tongues. They say it's evil. Not all Baptist churches. I'm not picking on the Baptist church. But many people say, I was raised in the Baptist church. Well, see, they don't believe in speaking in tongues. So that's blocking your ability to receive. Break it off of them. Send them home to receive it. Pray for them to receive the Holy Ghost right there. So, antichrist spirits. It can also come from oaths that we've made somewhere along the line, covenants that we've made, dedications that were made on our behalf, even when we were in the loins of our forefathers. Remember, upon the third and the fourth generation, great-granddaddy could have joined something and said, me and my descendants forever, making an oath to something other than what they should. In fact, the Bible says, don't make an oath. Don't make an oath. But everything that has a membership, they want you to take an oath. I used to think, you know, when in the movies and people are in the courtroom, they bring the Bible, place your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand, and you take an oath to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. And then they took the Bible out, and I was enraged. How dare them take the Bible out? And then I thought, well, how ironic that Satan would have them making an oath with their hand on the Bible when the Bible says don't make an oath. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, and everything beyond that is evil. You don't need to make an oath. And yet, the policemen take an oath, the firemen take an oath, the doctors take the oath, judges take the oath, but everybody's taking an oath. You join a fraternity, you take an oath. Many, and we wouldn't connect the dots with this, but we don't know what our ancestors did. So it could be generationally inherited that way. Okay, see, all those that were not Hebrews or Israelites were antichrist. And now even the Hebrews Israelites reject Jesus Christ. And it's on them too, an antichrist spirit, because they don't accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And no offense, I bind the spirit of offense. The Word of God says that those that do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God is antichrist. Okay, so we don't want any of that. Okay, there's also something called a bastard curse. In the Old Testament, that meant any baby that was born from a union that was not Hebrew and Hebrew. If it was Hebrew and some other nationality, that child was considered a bastard, and they were not allowed to enter the congregation of the Lord. When God's people came together, they were not, literally not allowed to enter into the temple or the tabernacle. There was even a place that they were sent to live called Ashdod. And if you look up Ashdod and all of the words that means, that's how you can tell if somebody has that spirit working in their life. If you want to hear that teaching, you can go to LHBConline.com. Many people have taught on it. I really am only familiar with mine because I taught it. But you can, when the page comes up, because there's thousands of teachings on that website. It's an awesome resource. But for this particular teaching, the bastard curse and getting it broken off of your life, LHBConline.com. When the page comes up, scroll down to my name, And it's, I think it's on, it, I taught it in 2012, so that's the one I want you to hear. It starts with the number 12. So you can hear more of that. But there's an antichrist with that bastard curse, because since they were not allowed to enter into the tabernacle, they could not even partake of the things of God. It's not that way in the New Testament times, but how it affects a person is they just are not that interested in the things of God. Or even if they are interested in the things of God, they never can really enter into intimacy. It gets in the way of understanding the Bible. You ever heard someone say, I just really have trouble reading the Bible. I have a hard time understanding the Bible. Really? Well, there may be an antichrist spirit working in your life. Let's break that. So it's a very real thing, and it's widespread in the body of Christ. It causes people to believe that God doesn't love them. It causes people to believe that nobody sees them, that their lives don't matter, that nobody loves them. Even, you don't even love yourself. And if you have that, then it's possible you have a curse of the bastard. Okay, so let's break those generationally inherited antichrist spirits. So I'll do this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind and break the power of generationally inherited antichrist spirits that came down to me through the God, through my forefathers that worshipped false gods, that took oaths, covenants, made covenants, or dedicated me when I was in the loins of my forefathers to any other God other than you. I break it now in the name of Jesus Christ, and I declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the one whom I worship. Now I break that antichrist spirit. I command you to go right now. All antichrist spirits, get out. Generational antichrist spirits, leave God's people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Okay? Now I'm going to break generational spirits of offense. When I think about this, you know, how to explain it, we all have heard of the Hatfields and McCoys. They were real people. It's not a fable. They were real people. They were mountain people. And they were serious about their land, their liquor, their guns and all these things. And they were feuding. And I don't even know what started the feud, but generation after generation held on to the offense. And we do that. You know, our mother may have an offense at one of her sisters, and so therefore nobody in the family talks to that aunt or the cousins or the cousins' babies, or they don't go to their weddings or their showers. Or, I mean, it's just amazing the generationally inherited spirits of offense that take up somebody else's offense. Didn't even happen to them, but they're going to be loyal, you know, to the offense of whoever it happened to. And that causes a lot of problems. There's a lot of spirit of offense in the church. Many spirits of offenses in the church. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I break every generationally inherited spirit of offense, carrying offenses for other people in the family. I break that curse right now in the name of Jesus, and I command spirits of offense. I bind you and break your power and command you to come out of God's people. Get out, all spirits of offense, holding grudges, not talking to people, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, anger. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Choose to forgive. Let me tell you, Brother Merrill said it earlier. The Bible says it, that if you don't forgive, then God can't forgive you. If you don't forgive, then you go into a prison and are turned over to the tormentors. That's what the word says. How many of you are being tormented by something? Well, ask God, is there somebody that I need to forgive that I haven't forgiven, so that torment can be broken off of you? Then there are generational spirits of perversity, violence, anger. You know, I used to think that something had to make a person angry for them to be angry. Anger is an evil spirit. Anger is angry. Spirits of jealousy. That's a big one in our family. And that my mom will say, well, what do they have to be jealous of? I said, no, Mom, you don't understand. Jealousy doesn't need a reason to be jealous. Jealous is jealous. Jealousy is jealous. Anger is angry. Violent spirits are violent. So if you have a spirit of violence, then don't try to control it. It needs to be cast out. Anger needs to be cast out. Lying needs to be cast out. Everything that is not from God needs to be cast out. And besides that, if it's not from God, who is it from? Hello? It's from the devil. And we don't want it. Fear is an evil spirit. Murder is an evil spirit. People who rape, molest, watch pornography, incest, all of those are evil spirits. It doesn't make you an evil person. You need the spirit cast out so that you're not doing the evil deed of the evil spirit. That's what's so great. I love about the ministry of casting out demons. It's because I used to have some pretty ugly ones. And I used to think that it was me, that I was an evil person because of these things. And I was never so happy to find out that they were evil spirits. They weren't me, but the devil had me convinced that they were me, to the point that I hated myself. At one time, I thought, I went to a psychiatrist because one of the things in our family is mental depression and problems, and it was on me. And so I went to a psychiatrist because in the movies, if somebody was crazy, that's what they did. They went to the psychiatrist, and I knew I was having some crazy thoughts. I was afraid of my own self, what I would do. So I went to the psychiatrist, and he sure didn't have the answer. Jesus had the answer. And I was happy to have those things cast out of me. And what it does for me now is I can separate that evil spirit from the person and still love the person but hate the spirit. Start binding that thing. Help the person out. They don't know they've got an evil spirit. I didn't know I had an evil spirit. I thought I was evil. The devil would say to me, everybody around you would be better off if you weren't here. That's what that thing would tell me. It's a miracle I'm here. I'm thankful for this. So generational spirits of perversity. So I just take authority right now over generational spirits of perversity, of violence. I command violent spirits to come out of you right now. Anger, violence, rage, murderous spirits. You go in the name of Jesus. Get out of God's people. Fear, you spirit of fear, I bind you and break your power. Having us cowering over whatever your fear is. It's different things for different people. But I'm telling you, I used to run down the beach looking like an idiot because a bee was buzzing around me. I was so scared of stuff that stung and stuff like that. It was just, but you know what? When you have that fear, you don't care. I had claustrophobia. I wouldn't even ride an elevator. And one time, out of embarrassment, too ashamed to show my fear, got on an elevator, and something happened, and I was standing in the back, but my long leg went out and went right between that door. I mean, it was like, get me off this thing. I mean, it did a little shimmy or something. I thought, oh, my God, I can't get off. I mean, it's like life and death when you have those kind of fears. I was, woo. Listen, I'm so thankful that fear is gone. I mean, that holds you back from a lot of things. My husband has a little 150 Cessna. There would be no way in the world I would have gotten on that plane 25 years ago. No way. But now, I pray, and I go, and it's fine. Okay, so spirit of fear, you spirit of fear, the spirit of fear. It is written that God has not given you the spirit of fear. So it's from Satan. Now, I bind that spirit of fear right now in Jesus' name. I break your power off God's people. I command that fear to come out in Jesus' name right now. Fear, come out. Cowering, shyness, bashfulness. Shaking in your boots when your fear shows itself. I just bind that fear and command it to get out in Jesus' name. Spirits of molestation. You know, usually people who molest have been molested themselves. So that spirit was passed down. Generational spirits of molestation, incest, homosexuality, pornography, pedophilia, go in the name of Jesus. Spirits of rape, go in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power off God's people. And now I want to address some generationally inherited infirmities. Everybody has these. Grandma had it. Mama had it. I got it. I guess my daughter's going to have it. That's how it works. And people don't know that they can do something about it. You know, they read in the Bible that by his stripes you're healed, but so where's the healing? We've got to start, you know, doing this stuff. We've got to start believing it and offering it to people. One of the things in the nine gifts that are listed in Corinthians, it says words of knowledge, words of wisdom, faith, the gift of healings, the workings of miracles. That's one of the gifts, the workings of miracles. That's the one God has begun to point out to me about a year ago. That's the one that shines in, it is just speaking to me, the workings of miracles. So I'm ready to work some miracles. Why don't we do some here tonight? Let's just get rid of some of these generationally inherited infirmities. I speak to allergies right now. Everyone that has allergies, I bind those allergies and break their power, and I command them to get out in Jesus' name. He shed every drop of his blood so that you could be well, whole, totally healthy. Asthma, I bind you and break your power right now in the name of Jesus. I command asthma to come out in Jesus' name. All respiratory diseases, get out. Lung diseases, go in the name of Jesus. COPD, you name it. If you have a respiratory disease, you name what it is, and we're calling it out tonight in Jesus' name. All respiratory diseases, go in the name of Jesus. Digestive disorders, those are rampant. There are so many medications that are talked about on TV for different things. You either have irritable bowel syndrome or constipation or loose bowels or leaky bladder or all kinds of things in the digestive system. So I just speak healing right now to digestive problems. In this room, get out of God's people right now. Digestive disorders, acid reflux, ulcers, gallbladder problems, go in the name of Jesus. Pancreas problems, go in the name of Jesus. Get out. We break your power. Heart disease, all heart disease, whatever your disease is, you know what it is. We bind it and break its power and command it to get out in Jesus' name. Heart attacks, I bind you and break your power. Generationally inherited heart attacks, go in the name of Jesus. We break your power by the blood of Jesus Christ and by his name, we break your power. All bowel problems, AFib, whatever the heart disease is, bowel problems, artery problems, go in the name of Jesus. All blood diseases, I speak to blood diseases. I bind you and break your power. All diabetes, leukemia, name some. Yeah, blood diseases, though, right now, blood diseases, diabetes, sickle cell anemia, AIDS, HIV, all blood diseases, I bind you and break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. Anemia, I break your power. Making too many blood cells. Do you know there are people that have to go have blood drawn because they're making too many blood cells? I break that in the name of Jesus. A hypoglycemia and hyperglycemia, go in the name of Jesus Christ. We break your power. All blood pressure problems, go in the name of Jesus. High blood pressure, low blood pressure, I break your power in Jesus' name. Strokes, blood clotting, go in the name of Jesus. And strokes, I bind you and break your power. All eye diseases, nearsightedness, farsightedness, macular degeneration, cataracts, I speak death to those cataracts right now in the name of Jesus. I command you to dry up and fall off. Fall out of that eye in Jesus' name. All liver diseases, blindness, absolute blindness. I break your power in Jesus' name. Blurred vision, go in Jesus' name. Yeah, the stigmatisms, go in the name of Jesus. I just speak to all eye diseases and I say, eyes be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. All skin disorders, you go in the name of Jesus. Itch and botch and psoriasis and all those acne and itch, yes. Rashes, go in the name of Jesus. Eczema, go. Dry skin, go in the name of Jesus. All skin disorders, you go. Liver diseases, I speak to liver disease right now in the name of Jesus. And I say, livers be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. All intestinal problems, constipation, all problems in the bowels, in the colon, in Jesus' name. I speak healing to your intestines, to your bowels, to your stomach, to your esophagus, to your lungs, to your female organs and your male organs in the name of Jesus. Your brain, I speak health and healing to your brain. All brain tumors, all migraine headaches, all headaches and dizziness and vertigo, all vertigo. I break your power and command you to get out of God's people in Jesus' name. Confusion, yes, Alzheimer's, dementia, go in the name of Jesus. Mental illness, insanity, I bind you and break your power and command you to get out of God's people. Go, confusion, scatterbrain, go in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus Christ. All forgetfulness, go in the name of Jesus. Fear of Alzheimer's and fear of dementia. Fear of brain tumors and cancers, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All skeletal diseases right now, in the name of Jesus. All spine problems, joint problems, vertebrae problems, neck problems, problems in the hands, the feet, the arms, the legs, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All skeletal problems, I speak healing to you. To the marrow of your bones, I speak healing to the marrow of your bones. I come against osteoporosis. Osteoporosis in the name of Jesus. You get out. All scoliosis, go. Degenerative spine disease, spondylosis. All spinal diseases, go. In the name of Jesus. All foot diseases, toenail funguses, go. I speak death to toenail fungus right now in Jesus' name. Hammer toes, corns, bunions, athlete's foot. You know what? I got a corn once. Those things hurt. And I didn't like it. And I knew that we had corns and bunions in our family. And I started breaking the generationally inherited curse of corns and bunions off my feet, because I don't want those things, and we shouldn't have to have them. You know, it's like, oh, a bunion, there are worser things. No, he shed every drop of his blood for every infirmity you would ever have. So I cover every infirmity. I cover every body here with the blood of Jesus Christ inside and out to the very cell, the very DNA of your bodies. And I say, be healed. All corns and bunions, go in the name of Jesus. Athlete's foot, go in the name of Jesus. Stinky feet, go in Jesus' name. That is a fungus or something. Anyway, it's bad. Get out. Get off God's people in Jesus' name. All inflammation, inflammation in the joints, inflammation in the eyes, inflammation in the heart, in the stomach, circulation problems, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command that blood to go everywhere it's supposed to go. I speak healing to all nerve endings. I speak a reversal of damage to whatever has happened to your body through infirmities. I speak a reversal right now, and I say, be healed, be made whole in the name of Jesus. All viral and bacterial infections, I speak death to viral and bacterial infections right now. Psalm 91 says that of the ill-smelling, infectious, contagious disease or virus. That's what noisome pestilence means. It says in Psalm 91, no noisome pestilence. You break that down, look up the words. It means any ill-smelling, infectious disease or virus. So I speak death right now to every viral and bacterial infection, every fungal infection in your body. I speak death to it right now in Jesus' name, and I command you to get out of God's people now in Jesus' name. I break the curse of death. That was another curse. The curse of sin and death. I break that curse of death that came on all of us through Adam. And I bind the power of death in your body. In the name of Jesus, I speak resurrection life to every cell in your body. Resurrection life in Jesus' name. It is written that, and we heard it earlier, that if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then it does. It will quicken. That means giving life to everything that's dead. So as you've been dying slowly, that's what the word die means, a slow, gradual diminishing of. Sounds like aging, doesn't it? Well, I break that curse of death right now, and I speak life into every person, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus into every person in Jesus' name. Diseases of the mouth. Diseases of the mouth. Rotting teeth, gum disease. Cancer of the mouth. Throat diseases. The soft tissue in your mouth, all mouth problems. I speak death to you in the name of Jesus, and I speak health into your mouth. I speak life into your teeth in the name of Jesus Christ. All cancers, all cancers and tumors, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Cancers, all cancers. Every kind of cancer known to man, we break your power right now. If they've called it cancer, if they've called it malignant, I bind it and break its power, and I command you to get out of God's people right now. All children's diseases like dyslexia, like ADD, ADHD, arrested development, I bind you and break your power and command you to get out of God's children right now. And even if you're grown up, you're still one of God's children. So if you have any of those diseases that are diagnosed when you're a child, we command them to go. All hyperactivity, go. All those labels that cause our children to feel weird or set apart, I just bind those and break the power and command them to go. All cancers, all tumors, all growths, just stuff that pops up on your body. Little bumps and warts and all those things, go in Jesus' name. All female organ diseases, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. And all male organ diseases, I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. All prostate cancer, uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, cervical cancers, breast cancer. Men can have breast cancer too. I break the power of all male cancers and female cancers right now in the name of Jesus. Generational cancer. I break your power in Jesus' name. Yes, all cysts and tumors and growths of any kind, lumps and bumps and anything in between, a mass, a thickening, whatever they want to call it, we just bind those things and break their power and command them to get out in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that when you hung on the cross, you suffered every disease ever known to man that would ever come. You suffered it before it would ever come to us. Now, Father, we receive the finished work of Calvary right now. We apply it to our bodies right now in Jesus' name. The precious shed and resurrected blood to our bodies, our minds, all throughout, our bones, every part of us, we apply your precious blood. Yes. And last but not least, God showed me this not long ago, and it just got me so excited. When I got healed of allergies, I had read the story of the guy with leprosy. And he went to Jesus and said, if you wanted to, you could make me clean. And Jesus said, I will, be thou cleansed. And he was cleansed immediately. And I was sick as a dog. I had allergies. I had chronic sinus infections. I had pneumonia twice with it. I was so sick of being sick twice a year. 6 months out of the year, I was sick. And I had read those scriptures, and I was driving down the road, and I was thinking about those scriptures. And I just looked out of my windshield, and I said, I didn't even have a voice, really sick. Lord, I'm going to say to you what the leper said. If you wanted to, you could heal me of these allergies. I am sick of being sick. And he said, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. And I thought, what? And I thought about it. And he said, did I not say it is finished? I said, you did. It is finished. But I don't know how to receive it. I heard, by faith. Okay. I receive it. Thank you. I receive it right now. Well, all day long I was still sick. But I woke up the next morning and it was all gone. See, so he wants us to move from the place of asking, Lord, heal me, heal me, heal me. Because he's saying, I did it, I did it, I've already done it. Receive it. Start appropriating the healing, the finished work of Calvary that he did for you. Start applying that to your body, applying it to the place where you're sick in your body. And then it's a spirit. Bind that spirit of infirmity. I bind the spirit of infirmity right now. I break its power and command it to go right now. The spirit of infirmity, get out in Jesus' name. So Paul, you know, we all know that Paul had this form that he asked God thrice to remove, right? Because when you're talking about healing, people say, well, everybody doesn't get healed. Look at Paul. And I'm thinking, Lord, I have a problem with this Paul thing. Talk to me about it. And then one day he put it together for me because I said, if you wanted to, you could heal me. He said, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. What did he say to Paul? Paul asked three times, take this, take this, take this. And Jesus, it's written in red, said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So what did Paul do? Well, therefore I glory in my infirmities. No, Paul. Receive the grace. Apply the grace to your thorn. That's what Jesus was saying to him. My grace. I poured out all of my blood. What more can I do? My grace is sufficient. So receive his grace tonight in whatever area that you are crying out to God in the place of weakness where it seems like nothing's happening, like he's not hearing you, like he's not doing what you're asking. He's already done it. I just apply the grace that is sufficient to every one of us tonight, myself included. I apply the grace that is sufficient to me. Sufficient means enough, nothing lacking. So apply that grace, and we receive it, Lord, and we thank you for it. We thank you for healing. We thank you for the power of your name to cast out devils.
Yes.
And Lord, I just hear them screaming and scattering. And I thank you, and I ask you to come and get the, to send the angels to chain them up and drag them off in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, as they go to their beds, I thank you that sweet sleep belongs to your saints.
Yes.
I bind every spirit that would come to torment them in their sleep. And I stand the mighty angels around them, shoulder to shoulder, that no evil penetrate. I especially speak peace to the children, that when they lay down, I say, peace be still to their little minds. That they, and the big children too. Peace be still to your minds, that you might rest. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Good night.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.